ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Mobile check, please. All the mobiles off. Sabhi mobile band kijiye. Anyone caught texting will have his hands forcibly put into gulab jamun juice. Prayo mumunkshavas tesham kechanaiva dvijottama mumukshunam sahasreshu kaschit Mucheta Sidyati Prayo Mumukshabastesham Kechanaiva Dvijottama Mumukshunam Sahasreshu Kaschin Mucheta Sidyati Prayo Mumukshabastesham Kechanaiva Dvijottama Mumukshunam Sahasreshu Kaschin Mucheta Siddhyati. Shabastesham Kechanaiva Dvijottama Mumunkshunam sahasreshu Kaschin mucheta siddhyati Prayo mumunkshavastesham Kechanaiva dvijottama Mumunkshunam sahasreshu Kaschin mucheta siddhyati Prayo mumukshavastesham Kechanaiva dvijottama Mumukshunam sahasreshu Kaschin mucheta siddhyati Prayo mumukshavastesham Kechanaiva dvijottama Anyone else? Ladies? Any ladies want to chant? No?
Prayo mumukshavastesham Kechanaiva dvijottama
Mumukshunam sahasreshu Kaschin mucheta siddhyati Prayaha Almost always Mumukshavaha, persons interested in liberation. Tesham, of them. Kechana, some. Eva, indeed. Dvija uttama, O best of the brahmanas. Mumukshunam, of those who desire to be liberated. Sahasreshu, in many thousands. Kaschit, someone. Mucheta, may be actually liberated. Siddhyati, someone is perfect. O best of the brahmanas, Shukadev Goswami, out of many persons who follow religious principles, only a few desire liberation from the material world. Among many thousands who desire liberation, one may actually achieve liberation, giving up material attachment to society, friendship, love, country, home, wife, and children. And among many thousands of such liberated persons, one who can understand the true meaning of liberation is very rare. Purport. There are four classes of men, namely karmis, gyanis, yogis, and bhaktas. This statement pertains especially to karmis and gyanis. A karmi tries to be happy within this material world by changing from one body to another. His objective is bodily comfort, either in this planet or in another. When such a person becomes a gyani, however, he aspires for liberation from material bondage. Among many such persons who aspire for liberation, one may be actually liberated during his life. Such a person gives up his attachment for society, friendship, love, country, family, wife, and children. Among many such persons who are in the vanaprastha stage, one may understand the value of becoming a sannyasi, completely accepting the renounced order of life. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Tadhati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vansha Kopatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Prayo Mumunkshavaste Sham Kechanayava Dvijottama Mumukshu nam sahasreshu kaschin mucheta siddhyati. In the previous verse, we've heard that out of so many thousands and thousands and millions of living beings, only a few come to the human form of life. Out of 8,400,000 forms of life, the human beings are only 400,000. Out of them, the civilized human beings are still fewer. And out of them, those who follow religious principles are still fewer, especially in the Kali Yuga. Religious principles are disappearing, and to find the person who's actually following religious life becomes increasingly difficult. Because people are mostly interested in Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. Religion maintained for the sake of economic development. If we follow religious principles, then God will bless us with prosperity. So interested in economic development, and the economic development is for sense gratification. Simply to accumulate money is useless. After getting money, we have to spend money for comfort and enjoyment. And people are interested in religion for that. Since now they think, why do we have to follow religion to enjoy? We can just enjoy any which way. So then they give up religious principles and go straight for enjoyment, which of course increases their suffering. Nasasiddhim avapnoti nasukham naparam gatim. If someone gives up the directions of the for religious principles given in the Shastra, he can't attain perfection. Nasukam. He can't even be happy, materially speaking. And what to speak of achieving the supreme destination. So instead, people make themselves increasingly miserable by trying to enjoy in their own way. Just as a person, he disobeys the laws of the state so that he can enjoy more. In America, at least, there are speed limits. And people who want to enjoy more, especially young people, they ignore the speed limits and they enjoy going fast. And then they get arrested by the police and hit with a big fine. So their enjoyment results in suffering. Or they think that they can enjoy sex like anything. And then the girl gets pregnant. And then either they have to kill the child or the girl has to beg from the government, please support me. So for the sake of direct enjoyment, giving up religious principles, suffering is the result. And the examples could be multiplied. But being bewildered by Maya, people think still that why follow religious principles? Let me just enjoy. But anyway, out of those who are dharmic, those who are following religious principles or are trying to follow religious principles, mostly they're interested in following religious principles for improving material life. Those who ignore the principles of Dharma are trying to improve in material life illegally or any which way. And those who are following principles of Dharma are trying to improve their material life legally. Either way, their objective is the same. Let me enjoy and be happy in this material world. According to dharmic principles, a man gets married and then he wants to enjoy with his wife, with his family, good job, good bank balance, respectable position, Give some charity also. And adharma, a man wants to enjoy with any woman, wife, not wife, my wife, your wife, no one's wife. The same business, sex, but illegally. And according to dharmic principles, legally. Dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi. So the dharmic principles are followed by at least some section. But they're also generally interested in staying in this material world and achieving happiness here. They want to make this world a better place, either for themselves or for themselves and others. But their objective is this world and the happiness that can be had here. This is called Maya. The material world is certified by Lord Krishna as Dukhalayam Ashashvatam, as a miserable place. But one thinks that by science, by medical progress, by good, smart business, by political advancement, by social advancement, we can turn the Dukhalaya into Sukhalaya. This is called illusion. But suppose someone won't accept it. He says, no, you may be disappointed, but I have a very nice life. By my way of life, I've got a nice wife, good job, nice family, good house, nice food, everything, good children also. This one's going to this college, this one's an engineer, this one's a doctor, this one's a lawyer. So you may be a failure in your material life, but my life is very happy. Then Lord Krishna says, all right, but ashashvatam, temporary. Elsewhere, anityam asukham lokam. Asukha, same thing, dukkhaliya. And anitya, you can't stay. If I find a happy situation, naturally I want to stay there. Suppose I find a nice apartment. So then the first thing is I sign a lease so that I can stay there. Or I buy the property so that I can stay there. But the material world is such a place that whatever situation we find, we can't stay there. Nice wife, nice children, nice family, nice job, nice everything. Now get out. Mrityu sarvaharascham. Krishna says, I come as death, I take everything away. I take everything away. And no exceptions. I take everything away from the Indians. I take everything away from the Americans. Everything away from the Russians. From the rich man. From the poor man. From the religious man. From the irreligious man. Everything gets taken away. Sarva. Mrityu sarvahara jaham. I take everything away. Those who are working very hard for improving their life in this world are heaping up, accumulating things just to have them taken away. That's their program. I'll work very hard, I'll accumulate so much, and then death will come and it will all be gone. There's a nursery rhyme. My mother told me it was my favorite nursery rhyme when I was a child. Are you ready? Okay. The itsy bitsy spider. Itsy bitsy means choti choti. The itsy bitsy spider climbed up the water spout. Down came the rain, washed the spider out. Out came the sun and dried up all the rain. And the itsy bitsy spider climbed up the spout again. This is the business of the karmis. They're all itsy bitsy spiders. They're climbing up the water spout, or climbing up the social ladder, or climbing up the corporate ladder. And their karma comes and washes them out, or death comes and washes them out. Now you're washed out, take another body as an itsy bitsy spider. And now you can crawl up the spout again, and again washed out, and again crawl up, and again washed out, and again crawl up, and again washed out. Maybe you can climb the water spout all the way up to Indraloka, and you can stay there for thousands of years. And then the rain will come and wash you out. Dehantara prapti. This is the fact of the material world. This is not a religious belief. No one can say, no, I don't believe in Krishna consciousness, so I'll stay here. I don't believe in your shastras, so I'll stay here forever. This is a fact. Jatasvihi dhruva mrityur. For one who's born, death is 100% certain. We're not speaking sentimental faith, my religion, your religion. For anyone who's born, death is certain, 100%. And when you lose it, this life is gone, you lose everything. And Krishna says, dhruvam janma mrtasya cha. And after death, you have to take another body. That people don't know. They think this one life is everything. If one life is everything, then I'm working so hard only to be totally annihilated forever. What's the use? What's the meaning of my life? Or I'm working very hard in this life so that I can work very hard in the next life. Again, it's useless. But people are going on in this way, aham mam eti, thinking I'm this body, and in relationship to this body, this is my country. I love my country, Mera Bharat Mahan, America the Beautiful. They're called Boma Ijati, dirt worshippers. The piece of dirt on which I've taken birth is Ijati, worshipable. Huh? And you'll see that the most insignificant country, people are waving the flag, my country is great. Some tiny, insignificant, useless, corrupt country, and people are thinking, yes, my country. My country is good, your country is bad. Now they're attached to their country, even their country, their sports team. If India fights Pakistan on the soccer field or the cricket field or whichever field, then all the Indians will be waving the flag for India. All the Pakistanis will be waving the flag for Pakistan. As if this were something significant. So I'm attached to my country, and I'm attached to my family. I'm very much attached to my wife. Then from the wife, children, I'm very attached to my children. And this become, and money, because my very wonderful wife and my very nice children are very expensive to maintain. So I need so much money. So I'm attached to my money also. And I'm thinking, this is my house, these are my children, this is my wife, this is my money. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. In this way I become bewildered, thinking in terms of this body as myself and all of these connections as mine. And my business is how to improve all this, how to keep my body very healthy and very satisfied, nice food, nice health, nice sex, nice comfort, and how to provide for my family, or if I'm more generous for my community, still more generous for my country, still more generous for humanity. That's called extended selfishness. You can have very tiny focused selfishness, just me, or little expanded, me and my family, little expanded, me and my community. But it's still, instead of how I can be happy in jail, how we can all be happy in jail. And someone who's giving me advice how to be happy in jail, he's respected as a great leader, great scientist, great politician, great philosopher, because he's giving me practical advice how to be happy in jail. And stay in jail also. Not only in this life, but in life after life. Sometimes the bewildered person looks for a guru also. And the qualification of the guru is that he can give me good advice, better advice for being happy in this material world. The guru will tell me how to get along with others, how to maybe make money. There's some guru, big guru in Vrindavan. His claim to fame is he has mystic powers and he helps you pick the right stocks. They'll teach you the art of living in this material world in such a way that you'll feel nice and happy. So the foolish itsy bitsy spider gets the itsy bitsy guru also to teach him how to be happy in material existence. And for that, because we're talking about those who are more advanced by dharma, they want to enjoy in this material world. They want to follow the laws, religious principles, and on that platform, enjoy in this material world. Either in this planet, or they want to go to heaven, Svarg, and enjoy there. But the business is the same. Let me enjoy, even though it will all be taken away and I'll have to go to another body. And there's also no guarantee that my next body will be as enjoyable as this one. This one also, there are so many miseries. But more miserable bodies are also available. Dog's body, pig's body, insect body. So many are there. Ass's body. Tree body, stand with your arms in the air for hundreds or thousands of years. But people are cultivating this kind of program as a program for advancement. Prayo mumunkshuvaste sham kechanaiva dvijotama. Out of so many, only a few desire liberation. Liberation means I'm in jail. Why should I try to be happy in the jail? Let me get out of the jail. But out of so many, hardly anyone's interested in getting out. What is this out? Let me stay here. Let me stay here. This is their program. Let me stay here. My wife is here. My children are here. My everything is here. You know, in the Second World War, I suppose the same thing is there in other wars, these things happen, that people get the warning that the government now is becoming very tough, and maybe because you're this or this, they're going to send you to the prison, or they're going to send you to jail, or they're going to kill you. In Second World War, the Jews, the Gypsies, the Nazis persecuted them. And they got knowledge, you know, the word was going around. So many people are being rounded up. But those who were not rounded up, they're still holding on. My business is here, my wife is here, my children are here, my everything in my home, my everything I've invested in is here. How can I leave? So they remained, and then they were captured. Sheshas tabre ich chanti kemai sharya tapara. So out of so many, some small number are intelligent, and they think, let me get out. They're called mumunkshus. Those who are desiring freedom. Not freedom, political freedom, social freedom. Freedom from birth and death. That's actual freedom. Liberation. And mumunkshunam sahasreshu kashchin mucheta siddhyati. Out of those who take to the path of liberation, very few actually attain perfection. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, manusyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam deiti tatvataha. Actual perfection means to know Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one knows Krishna, one knows everything. If one engages in devotional service to Krishna, he achieves everything. But Krishna says, it's very rare. Out of so many thousands, hardly anyone's interested in achieving freedom. And out of those who are trying to achieve freedom, mostly they're thinking impersonalism, how to become one with the Absolute, how to become God, this, that. Or they're taking some foolish path which doesn't even lead to liberation. But this Krishna consciousness movement is giving the actual path of liberation. One should take to it seriously and make life successful by getting out of this material world and going back to the kingdom of God, Goloka Vrindavan. That one can do. In this life also, one can be a liberated soul. Iha yasya harer dasye, karmana manasa gira, nikalashvapyavas tasu, jivan mukta suchite. By engaging body, mind, words, everything in the service of Krishna, one can achieve liberation in this life only and go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Questions? Any questions today?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Maharaj. Maharaj, you are telling about this Jatasya hi dhruva mrityu, that is, Jatasya hi dhruva mrityu, that everyone has to die. That is very clear, evident. But then, next line, which is that when we die, then he has to take birth again. That becomes very difficult to conceive for outside person.
So if they can't conceive it, that after this life, I have another life. All right, this one life is everything. It's useless then, because I'm going to work so hard and then everything's going to just be snuffed out totally, forever. So my life is meaningless. Taking their point of view, this one life is everything. I enjoy some sense gratification, either as a human being or as a hog or a dog. It's basically the same business. And then, finished. All I am is some chemicals that bubble away for 1 year or 2 years, 10 years, and then it's all finished. And it's meaningless. Lord Krishna told that to Arjuna. Even if you think that this one life is everything, still you have no reason to lament. Where is that? Second chapter? I don't see it right at the moment, but the idea is there. No. I don't see what I'm looking for. Anyway, the Lord told Arjuna, even if you think this one life is everything, then why should you lament over the loss of this body? Suppose this everything is chemicals. Then why don't you walk in front of the cars? When the cars are speeding on the road, why do you choose to wait on the side and not be run over? Because you're only chemicals. So what is the meaning of your life? If everything is just chemical, then anything goes. Your mother is also just some chemicals bubbling away. And if someone shoots her, what is that? It's just the same as taking a beaker of chemicals and knocking it off the shelf. Nothing to worry about. They have no underlying principle for right or wrong. It's arbitrary. They say this is good and this is bad. This is noble and this is degraded. But on what basis? It's simply arbitrary. This is one chemical combination. This is another chemical combination. Why is this one better than that one? This is 11001101. This is 01011100. You knock it down to just digital description, because matter can all be described digitally. There's no difference between this and that. This was... This was getting married to the girl next door, and this was raping a girl on the train and tearing her guts out. But why is this better than that? This is just 10110, that's 01011010. They have to face that. Everything is just chemicals, everything is just atoms, and therefore there's nothing that can be described as good or bad. It's all mental concoction. That's where your philosophy leads. Take it. Apart from that, you can't explain why one person is born rich, another person is born poor, why one person is born brilliant, another person is born a fool. For you, everything is just chance. And chance actually doesn't describe anything. If it's raining, it's not raining by chance, it's for some reason. You may not know the reason, but there's a reason. If Pakistan won the soccer match or won the war or won anything, or if India won, it's not by chance, it's for some reason. Or some group of reasons. You may not know the reason, you may not see the reason, but there's a reason. Just like, suppose you feel a nice breeze in this room. You may not see that there's a fan, but there's a fan. The breeze is not just appearing by chance. Now that's the situation. So they should try to understand things from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, try to convince them as far as possible. But they're fools. So if they remain foolish, don't be too disappointed. It's expected. Krishna explains everything patiently, how the living, how we change from childhood to youth to old age, therefore another body. All of these things are described. How the soul is different from the body, how consciousness can't be created at any time, how it can't be destroyed at any time. All of these things he describes. But if you don't want to take knowledge from Krishna, then remain a fool and suffer. Is that okay? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
So just as you told that all body are chemical in this material world, but there are certain qualities which you get it from birth, which are daya, then you get peace and all these things. If I don't have this quality, I will not feel the emotions of other person. I will not feel about the emotions of other person. And I can do wrong thing, but I can be touched with God. Well, if you see the terrorists who do all, they say that we are in touch with God. We don't believe about this material world and we kill people because God says to us. So is it that key, the emotions which we have, should we possess that for the to be a good person, or we should remove all the good qualities and just feel like that key, we are only chemicals, we should not think about this material world, only God is there. Please lighten.
Let's see if I understand your question. A person is supposed to develop good qualities. Then he feels emotions and so on for others. Otherwise, if he becomes otherworldly, if he's just interested in these things, then he may kill people, he may do anything like that. Yeah. Actually, it's not a fact. Those who are feeling emotions in this material world, they're the ones who are killing. I love my country. So I'm the enemy of your country. I love my family. So I do anything for my family at the expense of your family. For my family, because I love my wife, I love my children, so I need money. So I do anything to get money. Rob, cheat, steal, embezzle. It's not for lack of emotion. It's because of emotion. People are talking about love, love. We want a world full of love. Because of their love, hatred is there. Because I love these people, I kill those people. Those who are not interested in this material world, they're not interested. If I love money, I may rob the bank. If I'm not interested in money, why should I rob the bank? If I want sense gratification, then I may rape that girl. If I'm not interested in sex, why should I rape anyone? So the materialists, they're actually, they put on a show of being distinguished, caring about others, all of that. But when it comes to their sense gratification, they show their true colors. They show their true colors. But those who are actually on the spiritual plot, and then they blame it on religion. They fight a war for sense gratification, and they try to make it look like it's all about religion. Just like America, they're interested in oil, they're interested in geostrategy, they're interested in the Middle East, therefore, because that's where the oil is, and it's strategically a very important place. So we invade this country or that country for their resources, and then we tell you it's all about religion. These are very dangerous people living there because they're fanatical religious fundamentalists, and that's why we send our army. And people are so foolish, they believe it. That I'm not really interested in your oil. I'm really interested in making sure that you treat your women properly. And so I send the army, the navy, and the marines for that. And people are so foolish they believe it. Wars are not generally fought over religion. People say, oh, religion is responsible for all the world, all the wars of the world. Like World War I, like World War II, like the Korean War, like the Vietnam War. So many wars. They're not fought for dharma. They're fought for artha. And the artha is for love. For our country, for our way of life. When America invaded the Middle East, the president got up and spoke about how they're envious, they hate our freedom. They're a threat to our way of life. That means our sense gratification. And the real story is they're not interested, they're not walking around with daggers thinking about how to threaten our way of life, but we're interested in their resources. So the expression is, call the dog a bad name and hang him. You know, oh, religion is responsible for all the problems of the world. The person who's mumunkshu has nothing to gain in this material world. He knows it will all be finished. Why should I fight over it? Those who, you're just like a girl, you know, two men are in love with a girl. I think there's 10,432 Bollywood movies like this. You know, Ravi is totally in love with Rekha, and Angshu is totally in love with Rekha, and then it comes to blows, and then it comes to daggers, and then it comes to murder, and then it comes to blah, 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 blah. And what's it over? Love. If Ravi doesn't care about Rekha, if Angshu doesn't care about Rekha, there's no fight. Ravi says, why should I care about this girl? She's simply a bag of bones with some muscles connecting the bones and some a liver and some lungs and some kidneys and the whole thing covered with a little bit of skin and then some cosmetics on top of that. Why should I care about this? What happiness will I get here? I want to get out of this material world and not be bewildered by this Maya. If they're both thinking like that, there's no fight. Hare Krishna. Something else. Yes.
Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you said that even if you find a comfortable situation in this material world, it is going to be a shashvatam. But still we have...
Naraman point, a shashvatam.
Ashash. Maharaj, but still we have so much strong desires to accumulate money or get like good job or good social position and nice family. So how to end those desires?
By Krishna consciousness. I have strong desires to enjoy illusion, and that becomes the source of my suffering in lifetime after lifetime. So I need some process by which those strong desires can be weakened, by which those desires can be controlled, so that I can become detached. Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva, so that I can get free from this material world. That must be there. Otherwise I become the servant of my desires, the servant of my senses, and I have to work hard to satisfy these desires. Tripyanti neha kripana bahuduka paja. I'm never going to be satisfied, but misery after misery comes upon me, and still I'm trying to enjoy. No one has to learn how to be satisfied. What is that satisfaction? One has to identify with the soul within the body, which is the source of actual happiness, and connect with Krishna, who is the source of unlimited happiness. Well, that's our Krishna consciousness process. Now that may not take place overnight. That though today I went to the Hare Krishna temple, now I'm free from all material desires. I'm no longer interested in accumulating money. I'm no longer interested in so many things. My desires have all become normal. No desire is not possible. We have to eat. We have to sleep. Some satisfaction of the senses has to be there. So to become desireless, that happens when you're dead. A dead man has no desires. Of course, he's gone to the next body. But so some desire will be there, but that should be within our control. Just like the rapist people, the big newspaper story. What's their problem? They couldn't control their desires. Sex is not terrible. Sex is allowed. But they're so out of control that they'll rape a woman on a train. For sex. So the government doesn't say, from now on, no sex. But you can't rape a woman on a train. But you're doing it, why? Because you're out of control. Your desires are so escalated that you can't do anything about them. And therefore you've become a victim of your desires. So we don't say no sense gratification, but regulated. Krishna consciousness means some sense gratification. We don't say no eating, but no meat eating. Eat Krishna prasadam. It's nice. You'll be happy. We don't say no sex, no illicit sex. We don't say no sleeping, but don't sleep your whole life. So, regulated way of life, yoga bhavati dukkha. Krishna says by leading a regulated life, you'll get free from miseries. And by living a regulated life and chanting Hare Krishna, engaging in devotional service, gradually you'll come to that stage where your desires will be purified. Purified desire means finally, my only desire is to serve Krishna. Whether in brahmachari life, family life, retired life, renounced life, the only desire is Krishna's service. That's perfect desire. Is that okay? Do we stop here? I think we don't. What do we do? Any other question? I think we do stop here. All right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.